Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're embracing the spooky spirit of Halloween, from zombies to witches. We're exploring the odd, the occult, and the taboo in the world of food.
There are restaurants with no storefront, shrunken down into hundreds of square feet versus thousands of square feet. No servers, no hosts, nobody taking your order.
The rats in the sewers are now smelling, all of a sudden, fresh food molecules. And those rats were like, holy cow, follow that scent.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd. I'm Jessica Kesselman, and I'm very excited for my first episode to be joined by David Gremmels, president of Rogue Creamery. Rogue Creamery produces award-winning organic cheddars and blue cheese in Oregon, including the world champion winner from the 2019-2020 World Cheese Awards in Bergamo, Italy, just a year ago. I'm talking about Rogue River Blue, of course, an organic pasteurized cow's milk blue cheese wrapped in Syrah grape leaves that have been steeped in pear liqueur. And that's the short description. It was the first time a cheese made in the United States has ever won this top honor, catapulting this seasonal cheese with very limited availability into extreme demand. The win came shortly after the wheels for this year's release entered the aging caves. And those wheels recently hit the cheese counters in this country and is available now. But the year in between has been full of challenges, some expected, but many unprecedented. David, thank you for joining me today on Cutting the Curd.
Jessica, it's truly an honor to be on Cutting the Curd with you today, and always fun to talk about American cheese, and certainly in season, one of my favorite cheeses, Rogue River Blue. It's an honor.
What's interesting is when we were getting ready to record, you mentioned that you have been on Cutting the Curd before, although it's been several years, and quite possibly discussing the same cheese, Rogue River Blue. And I do want to mention that for me, it's interesting because the first year Rogue River Blue was made was also my first year working as a cheesemonger. So we have a lot of history together.
We do. That goes back a number of years. I remember that first release in 2003. Wow, that was just certainly nail-biting and white-knuckled, wrapping a natural rinded cheese in grape leaves soaked in pear brandy. At the time, that was brandy by Clear Creek. I was nervous, and I'm so glad you got a wheel or two of that on that first release. That was it really put not only Rogue River Blue in the spotlight, but American cheese making in the spotlight in 2003. Yeah.
And didn't you win best blue cheese in the world at the World Cheese Awards that year?
Yes, it was best blue and reserve champion overall. So it's been a journey. And from there, it just really launched into exporting Rogue River Blue into the EU. And ironically, we weren't able to export raw milk cheeses into the EU, though we are importing them. There was not a health certificate established to export raw milk cheeses into the EU during that time. So I worked with my Congress people and senators to do that, to create a health certificate with the FDA and USDA to export the first raw milk cheese made in America into the EU. And it was quite a celebration in 2008.
So have your cheeses been available in Europe since that time?
Yes, they've been consistently available through fine retailers from the UK and France into Spain, all over the EU. Yeah.
And as we know, you know, 2020 has been a year like no other. And, you know, it feels like 2019. September, October of 2019, it feels like it was ages ago. So much has happened. But if we can just go back to 1 year ago, almost to the day when Rogue River Blue won that top honor at the World Cheese Awards, what still resonates for you about that moment? And do you have any new thoughts about that win now that you have some distance from it? I'm sure you've talked a lot about it over the last 12 months.
Yeah. And, you know, it feels like yesterday, and I still haven't quite absorbed the meaning of this recognition, nor have I really settled on the ground. it really catapulted me into the atmosphere. Quite an exciting moment to be out with my herd at that time and to receive phone calls from a judge of note, Kathy Strange from Bergamo, Italy, and also FaceTime from Jason Hines, cheese person of note as well from Neil's Yard Dairy, and to pick up that FaceTime and to hear those words from Jason saying, "David, you did it." And it just didn't sink in. It's like, I did what? You won. And he flipped his phone around to show me the judges cheering, over 260 judges from around the world. And I was just filled with joy and certainly trembling with excitement and could only think of calling my team and congratulating them. This is a cheese that takes a community to create, from certainly our herd in Grants Pass to our talented dairy team in Grants Pass, Oregon, to a fine biodynamic organic vineyard growing the biodynamic Syrah grape leaves for us in the Applegate, and to our talented cheesemakers and our offenors. It's a cheese that really starts its journey 2 years in advance of hitting the shelf, in creating the pear spirits, to handpicking the Syrah grape leaves, and to then creating the cheese, and then nurturing the rinding of that cheese in our man-made caves that have been operating since the 30s, and then wrapping those wheels with those Syrah grape leaves and tying them off with raffia that has also been soaked in the pear spirits, and then allowing those flavors to meld. It's really cheese that represents the landscape of this beautiful area I live, the Rogue River Valley.
It really is a cheese that's very much a reflection of that part of the country. And you also, you talked about the time it takes and the planning that goes into making every year's release of Rogue River Blue. And I was wondering, so the cheese in 2019, that one in 2019 was made in 2018.
Correct. Yes.
And now for people who are tasting it for the first time, who very likely could not have gotten their hands on a wedge of the award-winning 2019 release and are tasting it for the first time, they're actually tasting wheels that went into the cave not long before your win.
So I was
doing some research in preparation for this interview, and I was reading the New York Times article after the World Cheese Awards that talked about how you had actually made an increased amount of Rogue River Blue for 2019. It was a little fortuitous, and also really, you know, maybe it was a bit of a good omen that you made more and then won, so there was more available for people who wanted to try it. What are some of the conversations you have when you are planning how much to make? And what were some of the conversations you had about, 2020 cheese was already in the caves, so
right,
you couldn't
right.
really, you really couldn't adjust based on the win to make more. So what were some of the conversations and planning that took place after the win and going forward from here?
So, Jessica, as you know, we create Rogue River Blue while our cows are grazing. And so really focused on the weather and hoping that we have an elongated grazing season. And so fortunately, in 2020, that was a reality. And I would say because of climate change, we really didn't hit a hard frost or freeze till later in the year. So we continued actually to produce Rogue River Blue until the hard stop of the winter solstice. So my goal is really to create it in that window between the autumnal equinox, September 22nd, and the 21st of December. And that's dependent on the weather and the growth of our pasture. So assuring that we can still rotationally graze our herd and maintain the health of the pasture and the soil health. And certainly when the pasture freezes, it's time to bring the herd into our Eco Cow Palace, which is a large pavilion where we feed the cows native locally grown grass in that short window of time, about 2 months in the Rogue Valley. So it's pretty moderate climate. So we did benefit by an elongated growing season. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that again this year. We are in a drought situation, so we really need that freeze. We need those rains. And I'm very hopeful that we will see those for our environment. As you know, we deal with wildfires each year, and this year was a horrific wildfire season. I know we'll talk about that later, but so we're hoping for rains and a heavy winter so that we can build our reservoirs and our water tables. However, we're still grazing, still creating Rogue River Blue, and it looks like we'll continue to keep those cows on pasture for at least another few weeks, if not another month or month and a half. And so it's the amount of Rogue River I create is dependent on the number of days our cows are on pasture. And so with climate change, we're seeing our seasonality stretch. And so less winter and certainly more grazing time for our cows.
That is one of the interesting and I think universal attributes of cheese making, you know, that lends itself to the larger conversations about our environment or climate change, and about, you know, when we talk about seasonal production of food, you know, being able to look at things that we do every year and how those things change and the impact of the environment on, you know, however small, when you can go back and start looking at, wow, you know, something that I used to do in September, now I can do it in October. And now it's starting to creep into November. And those pieces of information really do impact, you know, so many conversations, not just about cheese making, but into, you know, climate change and climate science. It's just fascinating to me. We could do a whole other, actually, it's a little bit about a future episode.
We'll be touching on this. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
It's a very good topic to discuss, and certainly the effects of climate change and the effects it has on food, and certainly the effects it has on rainfall patterns and water tables and our reservoirs. Our water comes from the Great Rogue River. So the water is plentiful for our pastures. However, there are farms and dairies that are challenged because they're on irrigation districts. And so that water is limited. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think this is we're just going to take a quick break right here. And then we'll come back and keep talking about this. And I would like to ask you about the wildfires. So we are just going to take a break for just a half a minute, and then we'll be back to talk some more with David Gremmels.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin in the USA. Conte is a raw milk, cooked, pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineur on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
And we're back here at Cutting the Curd with my guest, David Gremmels from Rogue Creamery. We're talking about Rogue River Blue, the triumphant win at the World Cheese Awards 1 year ago, and the year in between then and now, the tumultuous year of 2020. I wanted to specifically ask you, David, about the Rogue Creamery team and how you're all doing since the wildfires in September. And the threat of danger, has it passed?
Thank you, Jessica, for asking. And thankfully, the team is safe. The herd is safe. However, we have four team members who lost their homes near our farm here in Phoenix, Oregon. So it was a devastating wildfire. And certainly the news has shown that the origin of the fire is suspicious. So that's really even more heartbreaking, added on to the layers of just loss and sadness and a devastated landscape. And in that landscape, we lost over 3,000 homes from Ashland, Talent, Phoenix. And then in addition to that, there was another fire, the Obenchain fire, that was occurring about the same time. But September 8th was a nightmare for our community, and it was certainly too close to my farm, and my heart goes out to those that are impacted. There are a number of individuals impacted in our community, and certainly there's a lot of outreach that's happening through a number of not-for-profits, and those not-for-profits that we're engaged with in helping those that have lost everything is the United Way of JacksonCounty.org, RogueFoodUnites.org, which is a real interesting not-for-profit that is under the umbrella of the United Way of JacksonCounty.org, where restaurateurs and volunteers have come together to feed the community, and nearly 3,000 meals are being prepared per day by nearly 30 restaurants. So, and that's just a monumental commitment, and it's a commitment that fills our community with pride, and certainly the World Central Kitchen is playing a part there too, and Red Cross. But it's really about the local growers, producers, and makers partnering with restaurateurs that are getting the meals to those in need. And the Southern Oregon arm of the Oregon Food Bank, access.org, has been incredibly helpful. That's accesshelps.org. And at Rogue Creamery, we created a Rogue Creamery Wildfire Relief Fund through GoFundMe for our four team members, and helping them get enough funds to reestablish themselves and their homes. And fortunately, being a agricultural-based business, we had some homes that we were able to quickly convert as interim housing for our team members. So that was helpful. But again, that's a short-term solution, because these people really are committed, and we're committed to helping them reestablish themselves in our community and build their homes. So the number of organizations that I've shouted out, that for those listeners, if you care to help us and help our community rebuild, those are great not-for-profits to support.
So I can only imagine the wildfires on top of, the COVID pandemic, and the impact that that is having on communities and businesses, just really compounded recovery on several levels. I know that can you speak a bit about the impact of the COVID pandemic on Rogue Creamery, either on, you know, on the people and on the business, particularly distribution? What has it been like for you?
Jessica, it's been a year like no other. I learned a lot in 2008 with the recession, but I never thought I would experience something like this that truly halted our business in March. As you know, we prepare for a year in advance to create one of the great cheese festivals that's celebrated by many from all over the world. And it's the Oregon Cheese Fest that occurs the third weekend of March. And COVID hit the week prior, and we had to halt that festival. We didn't have to. We just made a conscious decision to halt it. We felt that that was the best decision to make for our community and for our guests that have supported it over the years. It brings in nearly 10,000 individuals annually. So we did put that festival on pause and noticed immediately a halt in our sales. And as you know, we're connected to our own dairy. So milk continues to flow in to the creamery. So we've continued to create fine cheeses from cheddar to blue. And continue to build our reserves. And as you know, Rogue River Blue and Crater Lake Blue and Oregon Blue and our Jefferson Cheddar and Tuvel Cheddars continue to get more delicious with time. So we have a lot of great age underneath those cheeses. The pivot for us was moving from bulk wheels and bulk blocks, wheels in the blue cheese, semi-soft category, and a block in the semi-hard category, the cheddar and Tuvel category, and moving into exact weights and providing exact weight cuts for retailers. And we saw an increasing demand there that has continued to build over time.
And you also have an e-commerce part to your website. Have you seen any changes with people ordering directly from you or online sales through other online platforms?
Yes. So we've seen exponential growth in our website orders, roguecreamery.com, as well as at our cheese shop too. Mm-hmm. So really our growth started locally, and it's continued to build, meaning our business was built locally, and those dedicated customers continue to come into Rogue Creamery, as well as those traveling the I-5 corridor, because we're only a mile off of Interstate 5, which runs from San Diego to British Columbia, so they're at exit 35 in Central Point, Oregon. So the store continues to do a robust business. We have a lot of protocols set up for our visitors. And of course, masks are required, as well as sanitizing one's hands when coming into the shop. And then we're spacing our customers. And our cheese shop, our historic cheese shop there at 311 North Front Street. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Jessica, the number of web orders has just continued to skyrocket. I'm just astonished each day, and just thankful. And thank you to all those customers who have been devoted to American cheesemakers and certainly Rogue Creamery during this period of time. We could not have made it without the support of internet buyers. And we had a good inventory of Rogue River Blue available on our e-commerce site, and still do. So the inventory is there and available. So
well, I am hearing from across the country and also from my neighbor, who I brought a little wedge of Rogue River Blue to, this release is phenomenal. It really is just tasting absolutely incredible. And I, you know, people ask, what do you pair it with? And the answer really is nothing. You know, you just taste it and experience it. And just, there are so many flavors and, you know, it's just best just to eat it alone. Maybe pair it with something lovely to drink, but it really is just, it's just a really, really beautiful cheese right now.
Thank you for those words. Yeah, it's, again, it's created from passion. And I created this cheese, again, when you were just starting your career in cheese in 2002 and launched it in 2003. And in cheese making, we just do minor changes and refinements throughout the process of making it. And certainly I have nearly 20 years of refinements, and it continues to get more focused in flavor. And when I say flavor, everything from the brightness, the peppery notes of the blue, to that balance of salt, to that expression of Himalayan blackberries and huckleberries, and those lovely Oregon morels and truffles, that umami flavor is just so rich. And then it has that incredible expression of milk chocolate about the center of the paste, from the center of the wheel to the rind. There's just this lovely softness of milk chocolate, and some say even a hint of vanilla. And then as you move towards the rind, you get that flavor of toasted hazelnuts. And then as you taste the rind, which is right underneath the Syrah grape leaf, right? You're thinking, oh, I'm going to get that flavor of Syrah grape leaf and that flavor of a pear liqueur, but no, you get these savory notes like cured bacon or seared steak fat, and where that flavor of the Syrah grape leaf and the pear liqueur come into play is right at the center of the wheel, at that center of the wedge. It's so remarkable. Many talk about tasting Rogue River Blue in quarters, as I've described it, from the center of the wedge to the rind. I like to actually just take a cheese knife and just lightly glide it over the top. And then, as you do, I like to taste it alone. So I'll just swipe that deliciousness on my finger and taste it.
I do the exact same thing. I just take like a spreader knife and I just scrape the surface of the wedge, and then I just slide my finger right off the butter knife and just, just like cookie dough, you know, you just, like take it and just lick it right off my finger.
And it does, it has that fudginess to it too. And then I have to just express the texture, because not only do you have the creaminess, but you have that fudgy note in texture, but you also have those brucheite crystals that come through, and the calcium phosphorus crystals that just hit the palate and just melt immediately. And you just think, wow, those are loaded with sweetness. And there were really no flavor. It's just about the texture. And I think it expresses the flavor around it. So it really surprises people. But it's really about aging it. It's about the acid in the cheese to create those crystals. It's part of the Rogue River magic. And please don't forget to taste those leaves, because we handpick those leaves. And Jessica, you were there picking with us 1 year, if I recall correctly.
No, I didn't. I couldn't make it. I was supposed to go this year. As many know, the American Cheese Society Conference was supposed to be held in Portland this summer, and it was canceled because of COVID. And you at Rogue Creamery were planning kind of like an open house, a big harvest dinner, and eat in the field. And was that going to be at your home?
Yes, it was. It was going to be along the Talent Irrigation Canal. And we're going to have banquet tables and just a lovely farm feast. We're hopeful that we can do that in 2022. I believe that's the goal for ACS to come back to Oregon. So fingers are crossed.
Everyone, you heard it here first. Mark your calendars. Get ready to go visit. I do want to make sure we talk about before we end. I know, you know, you just described this cheese with such passion, and it's not just a passion for the cheese, but also for where you live and for the people you work with and the animals. Rogue Creamery is a B Corp, and I would love to hear, you know, what does that mean to you to be a B Corp in the midst of the impact of climate change and the pandemic? It seems like B Corps have an important role to play right now. Can you talk a little bit about being a B Corp?
Yeah, it's we do. We have an important role right now in our community and providing that community with sustenance. And we're doing that with cheese. And we're proud to be a part of Rogue Food Unites and Access and distributing 1,000 pounds of cheese every other week to support our community. But what a B Corp is, it's a group of businesses international that have been created on the premise of using business as a force of good. And at Rogue Creamery, we use our business as a force of good, one wheel at a time. So that is having a positive impact environmentally, socially, and economically. So really having an equitable approach in all that we do, but also having a positive approach that impacts our community in a positive way, the environment in a positive way, and having a healthful, positive impact with our cheese. To take it a step further, we've created a new brand for Rogue Creamery called Oregon Table Cheese. And this cheese is being created for our community and other events that we can help make a sustainable difference by providing cheese, and 100% of the proceeds donate causes having a positive effect for individuals and for organizations and communities. So we're really excited to launch this new cheese in 2021.
And is that something that will only be available locally to Oregon, or is this something that goes national?
Its focus, Jessica, is going to be local to start.
Oh, that's great.
And then we'll refine its template and see how we can share its template with other cheesemakers. And so, that's the key to success and sustainability. You give a template to another business and help them in refining it and improve it and create a personality in that template that fits their personality. So, and their style of business and their values. So We're really excited about launching Oregon Table Cheese and using those proceeds to make a difference in our community. And certainly we'll be looking beyond those borders as we move forward in this project.
Well, I guess that's when we have you back on to talk about the Oregon Table Cheese Project and maybe even with other cheesemakers from other parts of the country who take up the challenge. Because that sounds fascinating. It sounds like a great place to end on this day before Election Day. So I need to make sure to remind everyone to go vote. If you haven't already, go vote. But David, I could keep talking with you. Yes, there's so many topics we didn't get to that I would love to invite you back for another interview in the near future to talk a little bit more about what's happening in Oregon and about Rogue Creamery. But I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today on my first interview. I couldn't imagine a better guest to start this Cutting the Curd journey with.
Thank you. I'm truly honored. It was really a lovely time to spend with you, and I'm honored that this is your inaugural interview. So I look forward to returning, and I echo your sentiment and applaud you for asking people to go vote. This vote in particular is an important one for our country and our democracy. So please vote.
All right. Well, thanks again to everyone for listening here at Cutting the Curd on Heritage Radio Network. Stay healthy, stay safe, and go vote.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.